Welcome to The Word at First Pres. Our fall sermon series is called Come to Jesus Moments. Throughout this series, we will be having hard conversations about important issues that impact all of our lives. Thanks for listening.
Our first scripture reading today comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today comes from Isaiah 43, verses 15 to 21. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we've been doing a sermon series over the last few weeks called Come to Jesus Moments. And a come to Jesus moment or a come to Jesus talk is when we're having hard conversations about really important topics. And that's what we're doing all throughout this series. We're having some hard conversations about things that relate to us personally, things that have to do with Christianity and the church, and things that have to do with society and culture. And the reason why we're doing this is because if you never talk about these things, you can never do anything to change them. And so my hope is that by talking about some of these hard things, you all can make little small changes in your life that together, as a group, can actually make big changes in the world. Does that make sense? All right, that's what we're doing here. All right, so I told you each week we're turning up the heat just a little bit, and today we're going to be turning it up quite a bit. Although I've heard from some people have said to me, you know, these haven't been so bad, Alex. We'll see if you feel that way after today. So today, because it's World Communion Sunday, I think it's a perfect day for us to talk about the future of the church. And to do that, I'd like to start by telling you a little bit about my time on sabbatical. So for those of you who were here on September 11th, I told you that my kind of normal routine with my boys was we'd get up, I'd work on my book, and then around 11, we'd kind of go in to London proper. We'd go into the city, and in the city, we would go get lunch, we'd have adventures. And every so often, what would happen is my boys would humor me and they would allow me to go into a church. I love going into old churches and seeing what they're like. Of course, in London, there's just beautiful churches everywhere. And, you know, going into these churches, these are churches, by the way, that used to house just hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians every Sunday. And today, they are mostly vacant. And you go inside and you look around and they're basically tourist attractions. And I had this vision of kind of what these buildings are going to be like several centuries from now. I can see in several centuries, there's a docent who you walk in, people walk in and they show you around and they say, these are buildings that people used to use on Sundays to worship their gods. Hundreds of years ago, they used to do that and they don't do that anymore. And they would explain to them what we're doing here, how we used to do all of that. Now, this vision that I had of them doing that didn't just come from something I made up. It actually came from conversations I had with passersby. So I have this really annoying habit of getting into conversations with strangers, much to the chagrin of my boys. But what is a father for if not to embarrass their sons, right? Like, why are we here? We're here to embarrass them. So I would get in conversations with strangers, and I love talking to people. I love learning about their lives, where they're from, what they do. These are just really interesting things for me. And every so often, when I get into these conversations, I'd sometimes ask them what their religious background was. And sometimes I would tell them that I was a pastor, not all the time. And I would say that for the vast majority of people who I interacted with, most of them had no religious background whatsoever. Most of them had never been in a church, never been anywhere near religion. They just had nothing to do with it. Some of them had, but the vast majority of those people, they had stopped going to church long ago. And I asked both of those groups, I would say to them, like, well, why isn't religion, or if it's a church person, Christianity, why isn't it important to you? And I got so many different interesting answers. Probably the one that I wasn't expecting, which was interesting, was a lot of people said, oh, well, the church just misuses all your money. Like, that was a big one. That was a big one. I feel like they've been listening to George Carlin. Do you ever listen to that? You know, how he's like, churches are horrible with your money. So I feel like they were listening to that. I heard a lot of people, they, more than I'd expected, talked about the sexual abuse scandals. That was big for a lot of folks within the Catholic Church. They talked about that quite a bit. And then I talked to some people who basically talked about relevance. There was one guy, he'd been going through a hard time, and he decided to go to a church. And what he said was, he's like, I went in, I really needed something, and he's like, I don't know what that guy was talking about, but it had nothing to do with me. So, and he was like, I don't need to go back. And that was a lot of what I heard. And these are things that I've heard before. This is nothing new. But what was interesting was the way they talked about it. It was this really interesting way. They used the past tense a lot, almost as if they were talking about the church, as if it was a relic of the past. That's kind of how they thought about it. It was a relic of the past. And it was something that, you know, it used to be important to people, but now we know better. Like one of the ways to think about it, it's almost, they talked about the church the way we talk about slavery here in the United States. So when we talk about slavery, we were like, well, that's something that used to happen, but now we know better, right? And they also talk about, like when we talk about slavery, slavery was a drain on society. That's how they talk about the church. It's a drain on society. It's almost as if the way they saw it was that if an intelligent, educated, progressive culture and society would understandably leave all of this behind. It was almost like I was hearing, do you remember that book? We talked about it, Brave New World. Do you remember that book? Do you know what that is? That's by Aldous Huxley. It's a world where science and technology has rendered religion useless. It's not needed anymore. That's what it felt like. And it was really interesting because I was brought back to, when I was in seminary in 2002, I learned something very interesting. They told us that the UK and Europe, they're about 2 decades ahead of where we are now in terms of religion. Classically, that has been the case. So basically, their present is our future. What they're talking about now, we're going to be talking about in 2 decades. Does that make sense? So I was thinking about that, and I was like, okay, well, if that's the case, and we keep going forward and we don't change anything, then their fate will become our fate. And their fate is that their churches are gutted. There's nobody inside of them. And so our come to Jesus moment for today is, what do you all want to do with our church? Do you want our church to be a church that can transition and thrive into the 2030s? Or do you want to keep doing what we've always done? Because here's the hard reality. And this is a real hard reality. You can't have it both ways. You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect different results. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, if you look at the history of our church over the last 60 years, you can see that we have a slow, steady decline in membership. So just take a look. So in the 60s, we had 3,000 plus members in this church in the 60s. And every year since then, it has gone down. Now, I got here in 2013, so just so we're clear, this issue predates me, right? So 2010, We were down to half of what we were at that point in time. Now, this place was billed to me as a 1,500-member church. But when I got here, what we did was we took a look at the rolls and we realized there's about 400 people of that 1,500 who hadn't been here in more than a decade. So we took all of them off. So when I started, it was really an 1,100-member church by that point. Now, over the years, we have brought people in church, new members. We have new members who are going to be joining today. That's wonderful. And it's always great to welcome in new people who want to be part of our community. And those people who are coming in, though, they're not enough to offset the deaths that we have in our church. So people die. And a big thing is that when people retire, they move out of the state of Illinois because it's expensive to be here. So a lot of people end up moving away. Now, of course, we bring in all kinds of people in our new members class. We bring in families with young children, families with older children. We bring in singles. We bring in couples. Like, we bring in all kinds of different people. But what's interesting is that the demographic that we haven't had for quite some time, generally speaking, are people in their 20s and 30s. We have a few who come in, but generally speaking, those people are not here. And I hear a lot of people who say, like, oh, like, Alex, it's a, like, what's going to happen is they'll have children, and then they're going to come back here, right? Like that's what they're going to do when they get here. But I just want to kind of put this in context for you, right? I want to put this in context for you. So in this area, right, there are 75,000 people who live in Arlington Heights. If you go down the road here, down to Palatine, there's 68,000 people who live in Palatine. You go the other way, down here, you go towards Mount Prospect, you got 54,000 people who live in Mount Prospect. All together, that's about 200,000 people, nearly that amount, right, who live in this area. Now, that's a lot of people, isn't it? If you look at how many people we get in this church, generally on a Sunday, now let's exclude Christmas and Easter. Those are outliers, right, because we get a lot of people on those days. If you look at all the people who come through here in a normal year, plus the people who watch us online, it comes out to about 500 or 600 people, which actually isn't all that bad, right? Like, 500 to 600 people isn't bad compared to a lot of churches. But that represents literally a quarter of 1% of the total population of this area. So for those of you who are here, right, obviously this place means a lot to you. Is that true? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't be here if it didn't mean something to you. This is doing something. We're serving a need, and that's great. Well, what you have to realize is that this church that has been here since 1855, that's how old this church is, right? 1855, it doesn't matter to the vast majority of the 200,000 people who live in this area. This is simply a building that they walk past on their way to get wherever it is that they're going. And that tendency to walk past us and just to keep on going and not know what we are, that tendency is only going to get more common over time. So the corpus of people we have now, if the trend continues based on what we saw, right, what's going to happen? It's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So the question that I pose to you this morning is, are you willing to change? Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to try new and different things, to be, you know, to take chances, to do things that are outside the box? Because here's the thing. If I sat down with every single one of you in here and I said, are you open to change? I think the vast majority of you would say, yes, of course, Alex, we are open to change, 100%. But then the moment we start changing something, we're going to hear people complain about the fact that things are changing. I've been in the church long enough to know how the pattern goes. I'll give you an example, right? Last week I talked about how I came here when I was 33 years old. And when I got here, a lot of people said when I was here, like when I showed up, they were like, Alex, we can't wait. Oh, we're looking for something new and innovative. We're so excited that you're here, a new kind of preaching, right? And I was like, okay, like, this is different from what you're used to, but I'm willing, like, we'll see how it goes, right? First year, I heard most people say after 1 year of me being here, they were like, ah, it's different, but I'm okay with it, you know? It's not what I'm used to, but I'm okay with it. After 2 years of me being here, I heard people start to say, you know, maybe different really isn't my thing the way I thought it was. And after 3 years, and by my third year, by the way, that's where I was doing a lot of stuff that was really outside the box. That's when I heard people start to say, you know, I kind of think I like things the way it used to be. So this is why I pose the question to you. This is an important question. Are you really open to change? And I'm asking you that. I'm truly asking you that as a question. Because there's nothing wrong with saying, like, I like things the way they are, and I don't want them to change. I'm comfortable with this. This is important to me. I like it this way, and I want it to stay this way. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want you to understand. That's okay. You can say that. But what you have to realize is that by staying the same and not changing anything, this church will die. And I got to put that out there, and I got to say it. If things don't change, this church will die. And I've had arguments with people about this over the years. People are like, that's not true, Alex. That's not going to happen. Just go to any Presbyterian church in this area. Go to Palatine Pres. Go to Mount Prospect. Go to Southminster. Go to Elk Grove. Take a Sunday and go down there and check out those churches. They barely have enough people to survive. They're barely able to pay the single pastor who they have there to keep it going. Now, we have a longer runway than they have because we have more people and we have more money. So we'll last longer than they will. But the end is exactly the same. And the reason why this is happening, I've told you all this in the past, is that we're going through a new reformation right now. We're in the middle of a new reformation. Now, you all remember that the last reformation, when did that happen? 500 years ago, right? 500 years ago is when that occurred. And essentially, all of the churches, our churches, were birthed out of that reformation. So that's what happened 500 years ago, right? Today, the new reformation, all of the churches that were birthed out of the old reformation, they're all dying, and they're being replaced with something new. So, if we want First Pres to be here in the future, we have to live into that new thing. We have to be able to transition into that new thing, and then we can make it. But what does that require? It requires us to be flexible. It requires us to be fluid. It requires us to try different things. It requires us to change. And in truth, it requires us to be like the early church. So Jo, when she read this, and it's funny because I had somebody, Kim Hogan at the first service said the same thing. Kim Hogan was like, so we're talking about circumcision, huh? Good times. So why are we talking about this? Like, this was a letter that was written by Paul to the churches in Galatia. He founded these churches. He's writing a letter to them. And the reason why he's talking about circumcision is because it has to do with a big topic of debate at the time in the early church. And the debate went like this. If you are not Jewish, meaning you're a Gentile, and you want to become a follower of Jesus, do you first have to convert to Judaism? Do you have to become Jewish first? Now, James, Jesus' brother, who took over the early church after Jesus' death and resurrection, he said, yes, you do. You need to become Jewish first. Then you can follow Jesus. Paul said, no, you don't have to do that. And for Paul, this was very practical, right? A practical thing. Because if you put the stipulation on all of these people that you have to first convert to Judaism, what that means, every man who gets on board with the program, he has to be circumcised. Which, let's be honest, that's pretty much a non-starter, right? For most guys. Like, they'll be like, you know, I really appreciate you sharing this Jesus guy with me, but I think I'm going to go on and do some other things, right? So for him, it was very practical. This is a practicality. He came up with the idea. He's like, you know what? Just have faith. Just believe it. You don't need to get circumcised. You don't need to eat kosher. We'll just move on and you can believe and you're good to go. And as I've told you all in the past, if it wasn't for Paul, we wouldn't be here today. Like, let's say James had won that argument that you have to be Jewish. We would not be sitting here right now. It's because of Paul that we made it. And what also happened, which I just think is so interesting, is that he was a genius. He was like a chameleon, right? He'd go into a situation and he would say, what do you all need to hear so that I can present this gospel message to you? And so we need to be adaptive. Paul was adaptive. We need to be adaptive like Paul. Because the way our churches have worked for the last 500 years is that it has been a build it and they will come mentality, right? Build a building, build a church, and it's just going to fill up with people. And that worked for most of the 500-year history of this church. It's not working anymore. The people, although there are some people who still come to us, those people are few and far between. And so what we need to do is we need to be like Paul, and we need to go to where the people are. Now, I know this is really hard to hear, because what this means is that our version of church, this model of church right here, which, by the way, when it comes to this model of church, I think we do it just about better than anyone in the area. Like, we do this very, very well. Music, the whole deal across the board. This model of church, we do it well. But this model, it's not the future of the church. If it was, this place would be packed to the gills. Do you agree with that? On some level, just saying. The future of the church is something very different. It's lots of little churches, groups of people, 20 to 50, in small little pockets. Maybe they meet in a home, maybe they meet at a bar, maybe they meet at, you know, a rented space. 20 to 50 people that's resourced by a much larger hub. This is the way the early church worked. Paul went out, he set up all these churches, made it of 20 to 50 people, right? And then they were resourced by the mother church back in Jerusalem, which James was in charge of. So that's essentially what we have to do. We have to become a hub out of which these smaller churches become resourced, right? So we resource them. And I know most of you can like wrap your mind around this idea, right? But notice something. Do you notice the arrows that I created on that? They're facing outward, right? Because I know some of you are thinking, oh, Alex, this is great. Like, this is great. What we do is we set up these little churches, right, 20 to 50 people, and then eventually we can absorb them into our church and we can replenish the church. No, that is unfortunately not the way it works. Because here's the thing. You have to realize those people will never see this church as their church home. They might be willing to partner with us, like do some missional stuff, a service Saturday, things like that, but they'll never see our church as their home. Do you know why? Because if what we were offering here is what they wanted, they would already be here. And I'm going to say that again. If what we were offering here is what they wanted, they would already be here. And so this church, what we do here, it's important to hear this. This is not the future of the church. Now, that doesn't mean we have to get rid of what we have here. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to be like Paul, and we have to go to where the people are. You got to go to their homes. You got to go to the gym. You got to go to the bars. And by creating these smaller little communities, like what Paul did, that will enable First Pres to survive into the future. Now, I think something we read from Isaiah this morning, and I think this verse is so instructive for us about what we're doing. So let's take a look at this. Isaiah says, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up to me and say to me, Alex, oh my God, if you could have seen the church 50 years ago, the choir was huge and enormous, right? We had so many adults in the choir. We had so many kids in the children's choir. It was packed to the gills every Sunday. The programs, the Sunday school, there were kids everywhere. And that's great. I love hearing about that. But when I hear about those things, what I know people are saying is, that's what they want to happen again. They want us to go back to that. They want that to happen. And I just have to tell you, it's never going to happen again. Never. It's never going to be like that again. Because that was for a time and a place when it existed. And if you were part of that, you were very fortunate to be a part of that, right? And remember that. That's something you should hold close to you, that you could be here for that. But that is never going to happen again. And look at what it says. I'm about to do a new thing. This is God speaking, right? Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? What I believe to be true is that God is going to do this new thing with or without us. We have to make a choice about whether we want to get with the program or we're going to do what we've always done. And the truth is, that kind of getting with the program, that may not be in the cards for us. It just may not be, because change is hard. People struggle with change. To be honest, most people are adverse to change. And I'm not here to force you to do something that you don't want to do. My job as your pastor is simply to point the way, and you all can choose if you want to go in that direction. Do you remember from like the Exodus, Moses, what's going on with Moses? Do you remember that? Okay, Moses, he's leading the people out, right? He's going to the promised land, and the people are following him. But what happened? A lot of people were saying, you know what? I don't like this. I think I'd rather go back to Egypt. Now, what was back in Egypt? Slavery and death. But they were comfortable with it because it's what they knew. Going into the promised land, there's a lot of unknowns. You don't know where it's going to lead. It's a lot harder. You got to travel. I mean, it's literally like our situation. You're going to the people. You got to go out to the people. And I know how some of you are hearing this. I already know it. Some of you are saying to yourself, Alex, you are going to destroy the church. That's what you want to do. You want to destroy the church. You're going to get rid of everything we hold sacred, right? You're going to get rid of my service, and you're going to make me do something I don't want to do. We should have never let you go on that sabbatical. Like, that's what you're hearing. And I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not. We're not getting rid of Sunday service. As far as I can tell, I got a whole year of sermons planned out, okay? So no, it's not going anywhere. But if we're eyeing the future, what we have to understand is that we have to go to where the people are. It's just that simple. And, you know, we're doing new members today, and I really look forward to doing new members. Like I said, I love welcoming people into our community, and there's a lot of good that we have in this community. Like, I don't want you to hear me saying that what we do here is bad. It's not. Like, what we do here is great. But the truth is, right, the build it and they will come mentality, it doesn't work anymore, because those 200,000 people around us, they would be flocking here if this is what they wanted. We have to go to them. And so how I want to end my sermon today is I want to hear from you. I want you to, and I'm serious about this, every single person in here, I want to hear how you feel about this. I want to hear about how you feel. You know, call me, send me an email, send me a pigeon, whatever your preferred form of communication is, right? Send me something. And I want to know whether you're for or against change. Remember, there is nothing wrong with saying. There's nothing wrong with saying, I like things the way they are. Please don't change it. That's okay. I just need to know that. The session needs to know that. Because we are at kind of a pivotal point right now where we kind of have to choose, are we going to go in this new direction or are we just going to do what we've always done? And you all know what the outcome is. And by the way, just so you know, if you're going to say, I'm okay with change, you also need to be okay with helping with that change. There's a big difference with saying, oh, go ahead and change it, but I'm not going to do anything to help you do that, right? You need to think about, are you willing to get in the trenches and actually do something? And if the answer to that is no, just be honest and tell me no. I want to do what you all need here and now. Because if there's one thing I've learned, this is my 10th year of being a pastor, I can tell you the one thing I've learned, there's no point in forcing people to do something they don't want to do. I have learned that in spades here. So, I am here to serve you. I am your pastor. I want to serve your needs. The question you have to answer is, are you willing to go to God's people and serve their needs? I told you we were turning up the heat. And I hope that I will hear from each and every one of you. If you're watching online, feel free to send me something. But this has been our Come to Jesus moment for today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.